are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
5 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, October the 7th, and the forgotten member of the Lakers' Big Three, KCP. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to give the rundown from Game 4, maybe a little bit of gambling advice as well from your boy, a little bit of Pistons draft trivia as well. I've got a draft trivia question that the best and brightest of Pistons fans might have a chance at, but we'll see how you fare. We're also going to talk about the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only KCP. Big game for Kentavious. And Brian is back with a draft profile a little bit later on. Number 15 on the list, the first of two intriguing and interesting foreigners that we'll talk about on the show this week. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But the big news from Tuesday night, the NBA Finals. Game 4 is in the books, and the Lakers get the win 102-96 in the bubble over the Miami Heat, moving to 3-1 in the series with the clincher most likely coming up on Friday night, two nights off before Game 5. That's right, probably just one more night of NBA basketball ahead. I'm ready for it to end. I don't know about you guys. It's been kind of a grind getting through the bubble and then the playoffs. I can imagine being stuck in Orlando and being one of these players for these multiple months, but it's been a little bit tough to be a fan at times anyway. I was in the casino for a little while during the day doing some work. It's nice to have a day job where sometimes you just pop over to a casino. I was in Greektown there. Noticed, didn't place any bets on the game tonight, but did notice that it was a 7.5-point spread. Was intrigued with it. Thought about throwing some money down on the Heat with that one. I probably would have gone money line too. But that's my point, is I kind of usually skew towards money line bets. I don't know that I'm supposed to give gambling advice to you guys, given what my day job is. But I will do this today, because Tyler Hero knocked down the three at the buzzer. LeBron makes some free throws before that. So the Heat had the spread covered until LeBron knocks down some free throws. And then Tyler Hero with the meaningless three-pointer makes it a 6-point win for the Lakers. So Miami Heat cover the spread. You'll see that on Bad Beats with Scott Van Pelt on ESPN probably tonight as well. But I'm here to tell you, I just don't quite, I don't have sympathy for bettors who lose on Bad Beats for meaningless spread changes with last-minute whatevers in sports. And here's why. If you're betting on something that the players don't care about, literally don't care about, then that's just going to happen. You're kind of making your bed, and now you got a lie in. And it's funny. I mean, it's worth noting. I don't have a problem with the Al Michaels of the world or even us talking about Tyler Hero's three-pointer here. But it's just you kind of ask for it. The spread is a meaningless thing to players. Players are out there trying to win the game. Now, if you have a money line bet and some ridiculous crazy three-pointer at the end off the glass from half court loses your bet, yeah, you got some room to gripe there, because the team that you picked ends up losing at the buzzer. I'll give you that one, because you picked the team to win, they got it wrong, and maybe there were some unlucky circumstances that happened at the end. But with that three-pointer that makes the deficit 6 instead of 9, and you lose your +7.5 bet or -7.5 bet because of that, I just don't have a lot of sympathy for that. But I guess the brother Brian texted and told me after the game as well that he has a friend who lost a parlay of LeBron's total points, rebounds, and assists. Apparently, the line was 46.5 over under for that. And he was at 46, knocked down the free throws with 13 seconds left to go up to 48. So that one was lost too. But again, the prop bets, it's going to happen. I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for those. I would encourage you to you can still have a lot of fun with money line bets. You can throw some parlays on it. And if you're going to be doing and all of it should be fun, by the way, first of all, first and foremost. So though even those spread bets that are the bad beats that Van Pelt talks about, they're it's as long as it's entertainment, it's a punch to the gut. You lost money that you thought you won, but hopefully it's a situation where it's fun, it's entertainment, and you kind of move on from it. So let me get off my soapbox here and pass along the details of the game. LeBron James certainly recovered from a rough first half with a strong second half for him, just a relentless performance from a guy that we expect that to happen 9.5 times out of 10 from him these days, this time of the season. 28 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. Anthony Davis with 22, 9 rebounds and 4 assists. Plus 17 for him, the big three-pointer late that was the dagger time, like the Lions would say. But the big revelation, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 15 points, 3 of 8 from 3. Big layup drive at the end of the game as well, 5 assists. Solid defensive play from him throughout. While AD and LeBron combined, let's see, for 4 of 9 from 3, neither of them attempted a three-pointer in the first half. Thought that was kind of interesting. Anthony Davis, 4 of 4 from the line. He didn't get to the free throw line until, I believe, third quarter, maybe even early fourth quarter. Markieff and Kuzma, 9 apiece, 10 for Danny Green. Danny Green and the supporting cast was very – it was a strong supporting cast performance in the first half, and then AD and LeBron kind of take over in the second half, and Caldwell Pope with a couple nice plays down the stretch as well. Rondo, thought he played pretty well, only scored his the offhanded layup late as far as scoring production, 1 of 7 from the field. But, man, the what Rondo and what Kentavious Caldwell-Pope give you defensively is pretty good. And like I've said about the supporting cast, it's not a good supporting cast with Lakers. But there's a bunch of dudes that can do one, maybe two things out there. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, as we'll talk about, proved to be a little bit more than that tonight. Jimmy Butler with 22. Bam Adebayo returned from injury, had 15 points, looked as good as you could possibly hope for, 6 of 8 from the field in 33 minutes. Tyler Hero, not a particularly great game for him, I thought, scored some buckets late that were seemed a little bit less consequential. Minus 13 from him, 8 of 18 from the field, 21 points. Not a terrible game, but not what they quite needed from him. Duncan Robinson, a quiet 17. As well, just needed a couple more dudes. Goran Dragic obviously is a would have helped huge, you know. Obviously, kind of no doubt there, but tried to give it a go in pregame warmups. The plantar fasciitis was too much, and we'll see where we're going coming forward. Obviously, I am with the rest of those who will believe that Friday night will wrap up this series in Game 5. However, we've counted out the Miami Heat before and lived to regret it, so we'll see how this goes. 9 o'clock, ABC, Friday night. If necessary, you got 7:30 on Sunday night on ABC once again. And then if necessary, is Game 7 on Tuesday, back to 9 o'clock. For that one, I'm ready for the season to end. I don't know about you guys, but we got draft time coming up in 6 weeks for the Detroit Pistons, picking number 7. So a lot of stuff coming up there. I got a trivia question that I was pretty excited about that one of my friends threw up on Facebook. The only good thing I've seen on Facebook probably in 2020. Maybe I can count them on one hand. Not the greatest platform in the world. But we're going to talk about that and also KCP. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, got to tell you guys about the best tasting protein bar out there. This is not on the ad copy, but I ordered a box of the pumpkin chocolate chip. That's what I've been eating these days. That's not on the ad copy, but that's out there. So make your order and they'll send you a bunch of cool emails of the new items that they got or more specials as well. But first, you got to use promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first order. That's right, we're talking about Built Bar. The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious. The 6 new flavors, in addition to those specials, they got a strawberry one out there for breast cancer awareness as well. But the 6 flavors on my ad copy are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Add those to the 12 OGs, and you got yourself great tasting bars that are soft and easy to chew. The Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health conscious guy. Lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. These are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Those great macros, they're great for the keto diet or whatever types of new age diets that you're trying these days. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON. You get $10 off your first order. And like I said, you can also use this promo code if you've already ordered them from the first go round. Replug in LOCKEDON, $10 off your next order. They got the emails they're going to send you. They're going to be great as well. But keep pumping that LOCKEDON as much as they'll accept it. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
Yes, sir!
Hey, the Red Wings got a new player. Number 4 in the draft on Tuesday night was Lucas Raymond out of Sweden. So that means that you got to go ahead and check out Nolan and Ethan on Locked On Red Wings. They got the breakdown for all of that. It's not every day that something fairly significant happens in Detroit sports. And when it does, especially if it's positive, go check out the other sister or brother shows here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Nolan and Ethan, Locked On Red Wings, talking NHL draft all this week. Give those guys a subscribe. And hey, I never ask for that either. The subscribe, the rate, review on particularly Apple, but of course all the other platforms you get your podcast. Do us a favor here on Locked On Pistons. Subscribe, rate, and review. Smash that subscribe button. As they say, we really appreciate you guys doing that. Tell your friends. Send the social media shots out, all that good stuff. And here's my reward for you. I got a fun trivia question. Found this on Facebook that one of my friends posted. Listener Andy out in Philadelphia, a big Detroit sports fan who's very frustrated, just like you guys are. But he actually incorrectly posted the trivia question, and someone corrected him in the comments. But we will talk about the new and improved correct version. We'll give the answer at the end of the show. Don't look it up. Just try to guess it on your own. If you're a Pistons fan about my age-ish, 20s, 30s, 40s, you'll probably have a decent chance of getting some of these. Pistons drafted Grant Hill, number 3 overall, in 1994. You remember that. Went on to have a multiple-time All-Star career, one of the better players of his era, and now a Hall of Famer. Since the Pistons drafted Grant Hill in 1994, that is 26 years ago now, 27, depending on the season, they have drafted 4 players that went on to make at least one All-Star game. Name all 4 of the players the Pistons have drafted since 1994 who have made at least one All-Star appearance. So stew on that. Think about that. We'll tell you the answer of the 4 players at the end of the show today. I was framed as, when I saw the question, it was framed as just 3 players. The questioner forgot one of them. I got the 2 right away, pretty easy, but then came up with a 3rd answer that was incorrect. It was a player that never did make an All-Star team, and I was wrong about that. And another player who was drafted highly by the Pistons and never made an All-Star team was KCP. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. KCP was drafted number 8 by the Detroit Pistons in 2013, the final first-round draft pick of Joe Dumars here with the Detroit Pistons. A lot of fans wanted Trey Burke at number 8. Instead, they passed on him, the Michigan product, and also ended up passing on C.J. McCollum, who went right after Trey Burke, number 10, and Michael Carter-Williams, who ended up winning Rookie of the Year, followed by Steven Adams and Kelly Olynyk at 12 and 13, Shabazz Muhammad at 14, and then some guy named Giannis Antetokounmpo at 15. So really, all things considered, KCP, despite the fact that one of the best players of all time, when all is probably said and done, and Giannis was picked several picks after him, in a weak draft like this, there's not a lot of players ahead of KCP that were drafted, Victor Oladipo notwithstanding, and Otto Porter being another very good player that was picked number 2 and 3 there, but not a lot otherwise that was picked ahead of KCP in a very weak draft in 2013. Had a strong run for the Pistons in his 4 seasons with Detroit, with Stan Van Gundy in the last 3 of his run here. I got to be honest with you, I've leveled with you guys about this before, but this is an era of Detroit Pistons basketball that is a little bit of a blank spot in my life, in my head. So when KCP was drafted by the Pistons in 2013, I'm living in Springfield, Missouri. This is not a team that I made the league pass adjustment for, the financial investment, as a guy making, you can imagine what a sports reporter in Springfield, Missouri was making. I don't think I made Forbes list that year, but moved down to the Virgin Islands in 2014. So his next 3 seasons, and this is including the 2016 playoff season that the Pistons had. And now I got excited about that season just like you guys. I caught games here and there. One of my good friends did have League Pass, so I went over there on off nights from the newspaper quite a bit. I cleared out my schedule every time they were on ESPN. I think there was two or three games that they were on ESPN. They got mollywopped by the Wizards one time on the road on a game that I like changed my work schedule around so I could sit at home and watch that. But you can imagine your boy Matt living in the Virgin Islands, not exactly getting all that excited about Reggie Jackson and Marcus Morris and KCP and Andre Drummond. And I've said that to you guys, so that's just the reality of what my life was back then. Moved to Chicago during the 16-17 season, which was KCP's last in Detroit. Watched quite a bit of games from the Windy City. Took over this podcast in the summer of 17. I guess it was more like October of 17. So the trade was already made for Avery Bradley. The decision was already made for KCP there. So, and the predecessor of mine is Duncan Smith. You guys know him from Pistons Twitter, and he had a short stint of doing this podcast, Locked on Pistons, prior to me taking over. And Duncan was famously one of the guys that was very into paying KCP. The story from Vince Ellis, I'm reading here from the Free Press. I remember all this happening, but it was good to get a refresher on this. The year previous to KCP hitting restricted free agency, the Pistons reportedly gave him a four-year, $80 million offer. So $20 million per season. This is Stan Van Gundy's front office, Jeff Bauer, all that. At this time, KCP had already signed with Rich Paul, Clutch Sports. So they said, no, we're going to let him go into free agency the next year. Going to get a big offer sheet as a two-way guard. He's a guy who's really ascending into one of the better two-way guards in the league. He's knocking down three-pointers in year two at 34%. Trailed off a little bit in year three, but we're going to gamble on it and say he's going to have a big year in 16-17. These Pistons just made the playoffs for the first time in forever. They've got a good young core. They're going to have a good team, and they're going to want to keep this core together, and they'll probably match whatever big offer comes in restricted free agency for KCP. So they go into this summer, and a lot of uncertainty around that. The Pistons did extend the $5.5 million qualifying offer, which officially made him a restricted free agent. And the salary cap came in a little bit low, $2 million in the original projection, according to Vince Ellis' story when he was back at the Free Press, $99 million instead of $101. So some of the suitors that were out there, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets. The Nets traded for D'Angelo Russell from the Lakers instead, and the 76ers went ahead and signed J.J. Redick instead. So not as many suitors out there to throw a big-time offer sheet. This is also the summer that Langston Galloway was signed on a three-year, $21 million deal. So what do the Pistons do then, right? Tough kind of decision coming up there. They did extend an offer. I believe it was 5 years, $80 million that they did offer KCP early on in the summer, but instead still waiting for a better deal to come about. After the Galloway signing was made, things kind of changed for the Pistons at that point. A little bit of a staring contest ensued. And that was when Gordon Hayward agreed to go over to the Boston Celtics, and they needed to chip away some of their salary. So Jeff Bauer and Danny Ainge became trade partners, and the Marcus Morris bargain contract of $5 million became a carrot that got Avery Bradley's contract off of the books for the Celtics. So they're able to save $3 million and get a pretty good player in Marcus Morris. And the Pistons get Avery Bradley at a better contract than what they were offering KCP, a much lower number anyway, and they renounced the rights to KCP at that point. He became a free agent late in the game and then signed a one-year big deal. I think he got like $17, $18 million to sign with the Lakers for 1 year. Rich Paul calculated risk, figured that he would get big dollars in the next season. That didn't necessarily happen either, because in his first of three seasons with the Lakers, he struggled and then signed another one-year deal after that. And then before this season, signed a two-year deal with that second one being a player option. So the numbers and the salary level keep getting lower and lower for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. So maybe he wonders what could have been if he did sign that five-year, $80 million deal at 16 per at the beginning of that offseason or the previous offseason, where he was offered 4 years, $80 million. So you think about those 4 and 5 years, this next season would be that fourth year of one of those contracts, and then another season after that would be that fifth year if he did agree to that second one. But he's got a player option coming up this summer for $8 million. I believe he's probably going to pick that one up too. But just it's incredible to kind of think about what could have been for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and the Detroit Pistons. What happens, right? We're waiting on wings. I hate the defense on some of these wings. Luke Kennard's already in the fold at that point too. So what becomes of his career if he's backing up Kentavious Caldwell-Pope? Pope has struggled at times with the Los Angeles Lakers and surprisingly put together a great night on Tuesday night and a solid playoff performance all in all. But you wonder what would happen if he continued on the trajectory with the Pistons where he's, you know, third best player on a decent team. How does he look with Blake Griffin? Do they maybe not make the trade if they got Tobias Harris and that same core that they had from 16 that had the hiccup in 17? Maybe they keep that core kind of going forward. What is the salary situation with all those guys together? Are they able to add anything else? Do they have to peel off one of these bigger contracts if KCP comes into the fold? Just some strange and different hypotheticals to think about, but really nice to see KCP have another big night. He's bailed them out early in games at times, and that was the case again on Tuesday and in game one as well when Miami started off so well in the first quarter. KCP knocks down a couple of big shots, which leads to a big run for the Lakers where they put them away early on, and then late KCP knocks down a big open three in the corner on a nice pass from LeBron James and then takes the ball to the basket and shows off that driving ability, which has been the tentative nature of LeBron James' teammates throughout his career, is that they become worse players when they play next to LeBron. I don't know if it's a force of personality thing, a tentativeness of playing with the best player in this generation, but KCP's been certainly one of a long list of players that have suffered in their career trajectories from playing alongside LeBron James in terms of individual accolades, individual success, and individual salary as well. However, this is KCP about to win a ring probably on Friday night, so you can't cry for him too much. He's lined up to make $8 million next season, but this is a guy who was offered $20 million per season, $16 million per season on two separate occasions from Stan Van Gundy and the Detroit Pistons. And I know there's guys out there who followed this team more than I did during this black hole of mine where I wasn't watching Josh Smith early on in the pre-Stan Van Gundy era, but happy to see KCP have some success and killing it right now with the Los Angeles Lakers. But we got a draft profile coming up next. I got a trivia answer to give you guys as well. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. And you know that talking about erectile dysfunction is not easy. Usually we can just brush it off, blame ourselves, saying something like I had a long day at work or I'm just not feeling it tonight. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, it's safe, and it's totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for AD, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Completed an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today. If approved, you get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA.
A few weeks ago, host Matt Shook asked you listeners to submit your opinions on the top 7 draft prospects for the Pistons. And after a healthy response from you, he compiled those submissions and unveiled the list of 18 players that you all voted for in the order in which you guys selected. We have decided to take that list and work our way up and give a more in-depth summary of those prospects. So today we look at Leandro Bolmaro, a 20-year-old 6'7", 200-pound small forward. Bolmaro is from Argentina and started playing for a local club called Almafuerte de los Barrios in Cordoba. When he was just 16 years old, he signed with his first professional team in Argentina with the Estudiantes de Bahía Blanca. He played for the world team at the Nike Basketball Summit in 2018 in Portland. Bolmaro's coach with Bahía Blanca was Sebastian Ginobili, the brother of former NBA star Manu Ginobili, and he said that Bolmaro is the future of the game and he loves what he does and continues continues to work and get better. Bomero moved to the Spanish club Barcelona for the 2018-2019 season and played for their reserve team and averaged 10 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists, playing in the second tier of the Spanish professional league. In 2019-2020, he split time between the top-tier Barcelona team and the top level of the Spanish professional league, even suiting up for a couple of EuroLeague games, but mainly starring in the Spanish third division with Plata. Averaging almost 15 points, 3 rebounds, and over 3 assists on the season, his stats are a little misleading and inflated as he was able to pad those in the lesser-talented third division. Internationally, he led the silver medal-winning Argentinian team in scoring in the 2017 FIBA South American Under-17 Championship, and also led an Argentinian contingent in scoring in the 2019 FIBA Under-19 World Cup in Greece. With his 6'7" height and court vision, he is able to pass well and has deceptively good handles and ability to change speed. While he doesn't have an explosive first step and certainly doesn't jump out of the gym, his ambidextrous ability and crafty crossover allow him to navigate defenses. He has inconsistent shooting mechanics, and his lack of athleticism may limit his ability to score inside on some of the world-class athletes in the NBA. He is a fearless defender that sometimes plays out of control and gets into early foul trouble, but experience and coaching could help mitigate that problem. His relentless on-the-ball defense helped him average almost 3 steals per 36 minutes as a pro. He is great at denying the ball, and his footwork makes him above average at maneuvering around screens and defending dribble handoffs. Having just turned 20 in September, there is a lot of time for improvement, but also there is a lot of room for it as well. He's shown a good shooting touch from distance and on the run, but will have to most certainly improve his consistency to become a legitimate NBA scoring threat, and would be a project I don't see the Pistons taking on at number 7. Mocks have him as high as 21, some slipping into the second round. If drafted in the first round, he would become the first Argentinian to be selected in the opening round since Carlos Delfino in 2003. But with his ability to craftily slash and see open lanes and teammates, some good NBA comparisons are Joe Ingles and Evan Turner. Thank you for listening, and we look forward on to seeing you in the next installment when we will take a look at forward Alexei Pukashevsky.
Thanks again to Brother Brian coming through with the draft profile. I'm going to hold my thoughts on Leandro Bomero, and we'll recap some of these, the two foreigners that we're talking about this week on Fridays with Brian, as we digest the information that Brian's passing along this week on those two guys. But I owe you a trivia answer. That's right. Who are the four players that the Pistons have drafted since drafting Grant Hill in 1994 that have reached at least one All-Star team? The first one's very easy. It's Andre Drummond. You should have known that. The second one is a little bit tougher, but mid-range Pistons fans will remember that Chris Middleton was drafted by the Detroit Pistons and went on to make multiple All-Star teams with the Milwaukee Bucks. The third and fourth ones are tough. I was phrased this question that it was only three until someone else found out that it was four. So my guess, after thinking it over, didn't look it up, just thought it over for a little while, was Aaron Aflalo. He had such great seasons after leaving the Pistons. But no, he did not make an All-Star team, nor did Carlos Delfino, who Brian mentioned in the package there for Leandro. So who are the other two? Well, the year after Grant Hill was drafted, in 1994, the Pistons drafted Theo Ratliff in 1995. And while you remember that he was very solid with the Philadelphia 76ers after leaving the Detroit Pistons, did you know that he made an All-Star team in 2001? This would have been his third full season with the Philadelphia 76ers, his last season with this stint of the Philadelphia 76ers, made an All-Star team in 2001. The other one, a former Piston who had great success and won a ring with the Pistons, but they weren't able to afford him after two seasons in Detroit. Mehmet Okur went to Utah, and in his third season with the Jazz, this is 2007, he made an All-Star team for the Utah Jazz. So Andre Drummond, Chris Middleton, Mehmet Okur, and Theo Ratliff, the four All-Stars the Pistons drafted since drafting Grant Hill. But that'll do it for our show. I'm your host, Matt Shook. You've been listening to Locked On Pistons. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.